Well, hello there. 506 here at News Talk 105.9 WMAL. You can join us at 888-630-9625, 888-630-WMAL. Coming up this hour, Kurt Schlichter will be with us. He's got some optimism for America and taking back the Senate. He says don't believe the media, which is good advice generally. Again, you can join us at 888-630-9625. See, the White House is trying to make Dark Brandon a thing? Dark Brandon. This is after the White House pretended they had never heard the Let's Go Brandon chants. I don't even know what you're talking about. Really? Because the whole country's chanting it. Let's go Brandon, the PG version of F Joe Biden. Yeah, that's been going on for a while. So the White House of late this week, they started making their own memes. This is so embarrassing. And tweeting out pictures of Joe Biden with laser eyes and calling him Dark Brandon. This is, first of all, you don't ever give yourself the nickname, right? Like, ask anybody who's been in the nicknaming business, whether it's in the military or in a fraternity, you don't come up with your own call sign. That doesn't happen. Just back off. Somebody else is going to do that for you. But also, like, it's supposed to be, if you're going to manufacture this, can you, like, launder it through one of your supposed grassroots organizations? Oh, look what the left thought up. Dark Brandon. Yeah, he's really sticking it to, who's he sticking it to? The country. Who's he fighting with? Us, all of us. Way to go, Joe. Or should I say Dark Brandon? And sure, I actually embrace Dark Brandon. I think it's perfectly good. Call him Dark Brandon if you want to, because he's taking the country down very dark path. I totally agree with that. Things are getting darker with each passing day. Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon. So they want to make that happen. They want to make that happen. Meanwhile, the intrigue about not only these midterms, but the 2024 presidential election continues to get turned up. As we see, and I'd love to get your reaction to this too, Ron DeSantis set to go on tour. Oh, what could it mean? Ron DeSantis about to travel all over the country to places like New Mexico and Arizona and Pennsylvania and Ohio. What is he up to, you ask? Well, I'll tell you. Ron DeSantis is hitting the campaign trail this month to headline Turning Point Actions Unite and Win Rallies in support of, get ready, Trump-endorsed candidates. That's right. Ron DeSantis is set to travel to New Mexico, Arizona, Pennsylvania, and Ohio, Fox News reports, this month in support of Republican candidates, including Ohio Republican candidate for Senate J.D. Vance, Pennsylvania's Republican gubernatorial candidate Doug Mastriano, Arizona Republican candidate for Senate Blake Masters, and GOP nominee for governor in Arizona, Carrie Lake, who, by the way, we will be speaking to tomorrow on this here Vince Colonnais program. Looking forward to chatting with Carrie Lake. You notice who's not in that list of Pennsylvania Republican candidates who DeSantis would be campaigning for? Mehmet Oz, Dr. Oz, not appearing in that list, which doesn't really surprise me for a couple of reasons. But one of the big ones is that Republicans, by and large, nationwide, including in Pennsylvania, pretty split on the Oz support. Obviously, Trump endorsed him. But not everybody was on board. They said, wait a second, you got all sorts of nonsense in your past. Not sure I can support you. We'll see if he prevails. But Ron DeSantis set to hit the road for, as Fox News points out here, Trump-endorsed candidates. Now, that's an important qualifier, isn't it? That DeSantis is hitting the road to support the same people Trump is, with Oz being the exception here. So that tells you a couple things. One of them is, like, let's you and I be adults for a second. Ron DeSantis wants to run for president of the United States. We got that? Yes. Everyone with a brain, so Joe Biden excluded, everybody else thinks this guy's going to run for president of the United States. Now, the big question mark is, what happens if Donald Trump announces he's running? And does Ron DeSantis do that, right? That's the big thing. Some of this has the media salivating. Oh, I can't wait for the Civil War. I want to see these guys fight and bite each other's heads off. It's going to be so great. And then we'll get four more years of a guy on a walker with tennis balls on the legs, pushing himself around the White House. We'll see. But right now you've got DeSantis flirting with some, you know, big time moves. He's going to swing states. He's campaigning for candidates, and he's very popular, obviously. He's popular among Republicans nationwide. The question remains, do people go for him? Do people want him? Now, in that assessment this week among Republicans in Texas, we did get an answer, somewhat of an answer, from CPAC. Remember, we had Matt Schlapp on at the end of the week last week, and we asked him, hey, you doing the straw poll this year? He's like, yep, we're doing the straw poll. We always do the straw poll. And what'd they get in the straw poll? Donald Trump wins big time. 69% of the vote goes to Donald Trump. Remember, this is, so is it scientific? No, it's not scientific. Can the crowd be biased towards one answer? Absolutely. Did Donald Trump have a great presidency that a lot of people are proud of? Absolutely. No question. And that type of person would appear at CPAC. You would see them there. So 69% of the vote going towards Donald Trump. Number two, Ron DeSantis, 24%. 24%. It's a big number, but nowhere near the support that Trump pulled. Number three, from Texas, the very place CPAC was held, Senator Ted Cruz, 2%. 2%. Sorry, Ted. I don't think it's going to take off this time. But we'll see. Everyone else received less than 1% support in that straw poll. So those are, right now, it's Donald Trump's the big dog. DeSantis is trailing him. But then they ran a second survey. And I didn't realize they were going to do this, but they ran kind of an also-ran survey. So the survey is, who would you support if Trump were not to run? So if Trump was out, who do you go for? And I think you know what the answer is here. Ron DeSantis, 65% of the support of CPAC attendees. Now, here's an interesting one. Number two in this list is not Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz does not play second in this poll. No, Donald Trump Jr. places second in that poll with 8% support. Now, I can read that a couple of ways. Are there people who genuinely support Donald Trump Jr. as the next president of the United States? Yeah, a few. There's some out there. But I honestly, if I had to guess what that was about, that's CPAC attendees who are unhappy that they're voting in a survey that doesn't include Donald Trump, and they're just registering their support for him again by choosing Jr. 8% support. But man, it's going to get fascinating. It's going to get really fascinating. The political junkie in me enjoys just not knowing what's going to happen, and I'm excited to see it happen, right? Excited to see it play out, how these guys go back and forth. If Trump and DeSantis do happen to announce to get like that they're both running in some capacity over some time, it'd be interesting to see how they neutralize each other, right? Because the truth is, in a primary, you got to fight. You got to say, hey, here's the reason you support me. Here's the reason you don't support the other guy. It'd be interesting to see what happens, you know, how much the gloves truly come off. And, you know, in Trump's case, like the gloves came way off. They came way off. Back in 2016 when he ran, nobody was unscathed. It was lying Ted, little Marco. Look at Marco sweating on the stage. He can barely contain himself. Remember that? At one point, I think he attacked Jeb Bush for his brother failing to stop 9/11. Nothing was off the table for Donald Trump. So, of course, with Ron DeSantis, a lot of it's going to be like, hey, you owe your career to me. The only reason you're a thing is because of me. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But DeSantis set to hit the road. And that point that he's supporting Trump-backed candidates, well, that stops any, that at least, you know, you understand the tactician here. DeSantis wants to do this. He wants to hit the road. He wants to increase his national profile. But this stops, potentially, this stops Trump from attacking him, broadsiding him. What are you campaigning for? Why are you out there? Hey, brother, I'm supporting your candidates. You're the guy who got these guys across the finish line in the primary. You endorsed these people. Now I'm supporting them in the general. I'm here to support the same people you're supporting. So that kind of slows down that civil war, at least before the midterms. We'll see what happens after. As to Trump himself, the Daily Mail reports that a top Republican donor claims that Trump will not run in 2024. Now, that would come as a surprise to almost everyone because Trump seems very likely to make an announcement, even before the midterms, potentially. But a top Republican donor, not off the record, on the record, not on background, on the record, this guy's called Doug Deason. He's a Dallas businessman. And he insists that he thinks Trump is happy with his post-White House life. And he did a that he did a great job in the White House, and he thinks Ron DeSantis would do a wonderful job in the White House come 2024. Prominent Republican donor, he gave hundreds of thousands of dollars to Donald Trump's 2016 and 2020 campaigns. He says he does not believe the former president will run for the White House again in 2024. Instead, Dallas businessman Doug Deason said he could see Trump anointing Florida Governor Ron DeSantis to take on the national MAGA torch. Now, how about that? Imagine if these guys could actually come to some unity on what comes next. He spoke to DailyMail.com in the offices of his financial empire shortly before the former president arrived to address conservatives in Dallas this week, and that was at CPAC. Once again, Trump delighted the crowd by trailing the idea of a 2024 run without confirming that he would definitely stand. Deason says that Trump has a lot to lose by running. Quote, I think Donald Trump is enjoying life, he said, and I think that he's in a position as the power broker. He's the kingmaker. Why would he want to go back and get the crap beat out of him all the time and have all the responsibility and not be building his empire? He's had to go back and help rebuild it, and you know, why let it deteriorate? Why would it fall apart again? Because he's just going to get attacked just like he was, and he can be the kingmaker without being the king. We'll see. He's right, though, about one thing at least. Trump's businesses got walloped by him being in the White House. The left likes to say that Trump, the billionaire, went into the White House in order to trade on his family's name and becoming rich and blah, blah, blah. And, of course, that's all Joe Biden. That's the Biden family business. The Trump family business, back in reality, they lost money. They cut off international business deals. They stopped all that stuff. And they lost a tremendous amount by Trump deciding to run and successfully winning and then becoming president of the United States. So, yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. If Trump were to jump back into the arena, and arguably he's never really left the arena. They've kept him in the arena. No matter what he does, he could be out on a golf course. You've got people like Liz Cheney out there insisting that Trump has to be a part of the arena. Come on back. We need you. It's the only thing that gives us any relevance. Please. The January 6th committee itself is dedicated to that. Please be relevant. We need you. And so we'll see what Trump does. But I got to say, it doesn't matter who it is. Liz Cheney is already out there saying that she's ready to shiv Ron DeSantis, too. She did a New York Times interview this past week. The headline on that is Liz Cheney is ready to lose, but she's not ready to quit. And in it, they say that Liz Cheney would, quote, find it very difficult to support Ron DeSantis in a general election. Liz says this, quote, I think Ron DeSantis has lined himself up almost entirely with Donald Trump. And I think that's very dangerous. Very dangerous. So Liz Cheney already threatening to shiv this guy. Now, I don't know what kind of power she wields. I don't think doesn't have exactly a big audience. Of course, there's like the anti-Trump fan fiction crew that loves Liz Cheney. But, you know, does she command a tremendous amount of sway over Democrats? No, she doesn't. She just, you know, strokes their erogenous zones with anti-Trump pablum. Does she command sway among Republicans? No, she's about to get her tuchus handed to her in Wyoming, where she's the sole congresswoman, thanks to the size of their population. Small, you get one. So, no, I don't think she commands a lot of respect on either political party. But it is a sign that the same exact horse hockey that they applied to Trump and literally every other Republican candidate in recent memory will be applied to Ron DeSantis should he prevail and become the nominee, right? So this whole idea, like, Trump's a unique threat. The country's never faced a threat like this. He's the whole basis for so-called Republicans being like, oh, I'm never Trump. Anybody else, not Trump, though. Really? Where are you on Ron DeSantis? He's even scarier. What do you mean? Well, he's Trump, but smarter. He knows how to really be corrupt. He's a strong man. He's awful, blah, 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 right? He's this big threat. Big threat to the country. He's a threat to democracy. On and on. This is the same stuff they lobbed against Mitt Romney. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Of course you can. You live through it. But this is the same crap they did against Mitt. Joe Biden was out there telling black Americans that Mitt Romney would enslave them. Do you remember this? Joe Biden standing on a campaign stage and he goes, Mitt Romney will put y'all back in chains, he said. What? What the hell are you talking about? So, no, it's never like, oh, no, this one guy, he's the only one. Everyone else, they're fine. But that one guy, he's the absolute worst pick. And meanwhile, on Mitt Romney, what do Republicans do? Everyone pulled their punches. They're like, oh, okay, we'll let Romney go through. But wait a second. He invented Obamacare. Actually, technically, that's the Heritage Foundation, which handed it off to Mitt Romney. He was the first to create an Obamacare system in Massachusetts, and then Barack Obama was able to point to, hey, guess who did it first? Republican governor. Thanks, fellas. And then they create Obamacare. So out of all 300 million people or whatever it was at the time in the entire country, the Republican Party chose Mitt Romney to be the nominee? Yeah, that's right. That's right. Milquetoast Mitt. And then so that guy gets picked, and then he's turned into the devil incarnate by the left. Oh, he's the worst possible thing that could happen. Wait a second. I thought you got all of your ideas from this guy. He put a dog on the roof of his car. You remember how stupid that was? It was crazy. And then we found out later that Obama actually ate dog. Remember from his biography? He described how as a child he ate dog. Yeah, well, that put to bed the whole Romney put a dog on top of his car thing. Man, those were the days, huh? Those were the political scandals I longed for. All right, more in a moment, 5:23. Oh. Calling in on line two, let's go to Jane calling in from Frederick, Maryland. Hello, Jane.
Hey, Vince, I listen to you every day. You're wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
I don't understand, like CEOs don't bring people from outside usually. They bring people in that know their business. And, you know, inauguration day for Trump, I knew Pence wasn't going to be the next president. You have to have a certain, you know, personality.
Yeah.
To win a national election.
Agreed.
And I don't understand why these Republicans don't team up and do like a Trump DeSantis ticket. And while I was on hold, I was wondering, can he do another 8 years, or can he only serve one more 4-year term?
Well,
this
is one of the arguments people make on behalf of DeSantis. If you want 8 consistent years, you want DeSantis, because Trump can only do 4 now. But to your point, Jane, in that scenario, Trump will choose somebody who can be his heir apparent. Now, the question becomes, is Trump's ego big and too big for that? Possibly. Who knows? I mean, we'll see. But a Trump DeSantis ticket would be a wild one. Because it could mean 12 years of Republican governance if that works out. But, man, I tell you, the fighting that's going to happen should Trump return to Washington, it'll be something. Thank you, Jane. Good call. Let me see here. Let's get Alan calling in from Gambrels now on line 4. Alan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Vince, my very good friend who I've never met in person. But, I'm listening to the commentary And I had the incredible honor of working with the former president on a number of different things in a totally professional, non-political interactions and so forth.
Yeah.
But I will say I would absolutely love to see if Ron DeSantis ran with Nikki Haley as the VP. And that's not any posturing or anything like that, but Nikki Haley has such an incredible breadth of experience, and especially following her time as the ambassador to the UN, which would so fabulously lead to her ascending to the presidency with Tim Scott as a VP.
You think that happens? Nikki Haley does not activate the base. People are not happy with Nikki Haley. That's one of the issues here. For one reason, she was kind of like, she fell for the George Floyd stuff, like, immediately. Like, she was, like, kind of, you know, preaching the left-wing talking points on that, Alan. I'd be very surprised if a guy like Ron DeSantis were to tap Nikki Haley.
I honestly think some of that may be marketing, and because the left sees her, rightfully so. I mean, and so inside baseball, I know nobody is listening to this broadcast, so what we talk about will be kept in confidence.
That's right, just between
but,
us.
Yeah, just between friends, we'll have a cigar at some point, perhaps, and an adult beverage. But I actually believe that Nikki Haley is a much bigger challenge and threat to the political base than anybody really acknowledges. I get the whole George Floyd thing, but, yeah. but I think that's overplayed. I think it's overplayed, and my God, I would sign me up.
There you go. All right. Thank you, Alan. I look forward to that cigar. You know, the key here is you got to earn the base of support no matter who you are, including the former president. 5:30. Good afternoon to you. 5:37, News Talk 105.9 WMAL, where we are making sense of the news. You can help us do it by calling us at 888-630-9625. 888-630-WMAL. The media is starting to say that Republicans do not have a chance to capture the United States Senate. Sorry, the window is closing. But is it? Our next guest says that window's wide open, and the chances are very good. Kurt Schlichter, he's a Town Hall senior columnist, a retired infantry army colonel, and the author of We'll Be Back, The Fall and Rise of America. Kurt, great to have you back with us.
Oh, Vince, it's great to be here. As we look forward to a red tsunami in November, don't believe the unhype.
Yeah, so there's a big effort of late to be like, man, Joe Biden's on a winning streak and Democrats are going to keep the Senate and maybe even the House. What do you make of all of it?
Yeah, let's talk about a Pyrrhic victory, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. The IRS Expansion Act is supposed to save him from being dragged down to the bottom of the sea by the millstone that is $6 a gallon gas hanging around his wobbled neck. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, look, it is a full press by the mainstream media to try and demoralize and distract us. The simple fact is we've got history on our side. The out-of-power party tends to do very, very well in midterms. We have a terrible president. The only guy who's happy about his presidency is Jimmy Carter, because now Jimmy Carter's now the worst president of the last 100 years.
Yeah.
What are we basing all this evidence on? Polling? Oh, yeah. You remember in Wisconsin when Trump was 17 points behind and he ended up 0.6% behind?
Yes.
And even that was a little iffy? Oh, come on. If they knew how to poll Republicans anymore, because I don't know about you, but the Republicans I know, including yours truly, get a call from a pollster, and I send them off to the abyss. I don't talk to them.
Yes.
I have nothing to say to them.
Yes. I hang up with
the
haste.
The polling is just terrible.
Yeah, no, I had a call the other day. You never know what's a spam call or what's a poll call, or maybe they're both. But I got a call the other day. It was like, hey, I'm calling about some political polling. I didn't let him finish the words. I hung up on him. I was like, yeah, no, thanks. And this is a constant phenomenon. It's been going on for years. Republican support constantly undercounted in all these surveys.
Constantly. Now, I mean, look at some of the races. Oh, no, losing what to heart attack Shrek? I mean, the guy can't even go out in public now. Admittedly, Joe Biden didn't have that problem, but we know, and I know from Selena Zito, who, you know, nobody knows Pennsylvania better, and my chats with her, that Austin's out on the roof shaking people's hands, building the Republican coalition. David McClintock, who he beat, Gulf War fighter, a pal of mine. He's out there on the campaign trail. I saw Carla Sands, who also was beaten by Dr. Oz. I saw her at CPAC, and she stood up and said, I'm going on the road for Oz. So the Republicans are pulling together. And you got Fetterman out there, and what was his campaign? You know, no fracking, more expensive gas, everybody eat bugs?
Yeah, Fetterman, the whole Fetterman thing is like, the big open secret is that, like, he's incapable of really even doing anything. He had a stroke. He can't. He's incapable
of
speaking.
I wish nothing but the best for the guy.
Yeah. But I just mean he's not on the campaign trail because of his medical condition, and everyone's pretending like everything's fine.
And that's, look, I mean, that worked with Biden.
Yeah.
For reasons that are far different than what's going on in Pennsylvania, Oz is apparently doing everything right. He's not squandering money on a giant range of ads while Fetterman's running ads about, oh, he lives in New Jersey. And, you know, people are going to the store, they're getting, seeing ground beef $8 a pound and thinking, oh no, Oz is from New Jersey. I don't think that's what they're saying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But even in that situation, you talk about these polls and how they get things wrong constantly. It does seem that Oz has been behind by a pretty substantial margin. Is he able to overcome that margin in Pennsylvania, do you think? And I realize one of the reasons
Go ahead. I don't buy that's the margin. I know it's going to be super close anyway because it's a 50-50 state.
Yeah.
That's why they call them swing states. They swing. And not like Frank Sinatra or like, you know, the Bulwark staffers. It's a state where you're always going to have close races. And this is going to be a tough fight. Now, I'm not saying it's easy street, you know, grab a cigar, kick up your heels.
Right.
No, we've got to work for this. The Democrats are pouring a ton of money in. Republicans are not collecting as much money as they have in the past. Either that or the money's going elsewhere. It's going a lot of it's going to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You know, I expect Mitch McConnell's got, you know, his own little treasure chest that he will open soon enough, at least for some of his favored candidates. And we've got some great candidates. Look at Eric Schmidt. The Trump people love him, and the more established people, they like him too. And they should. He's a great candidate.
In Missouri.
J.D. Vance, he's getting out there. He's up against Tim Ryan, who is, you know, Nancy Pelosi's personal gimp. They're going to win Ohio when the president has a 38% approval rating. How does this happen?
Right, right.
Now, yeah, they've got that polling.
There's some very impressive Republican candidates out there with a lot of energy and a lot of genuine concern, it seems to me, for the voters. The guys who jump to mind are people like J.D. Vance and Blake Masters in Arizona. That's a fun race against Mark Kelly, just in terms of their sheer attitudes. You assess like Blake Masters versus Mark Kelly. Blake is like the guy who seems to have all the energy.
He does. I mean, you know, Mark Kelly, who incidentally was an astronaut. You know, what is he? He just voted to add 87,000 new IRS agents. But don't worry, they're all going to be focused on the 1,000 billionaires in America. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The only person who believes that is my unicorn. His name is Chet. He's not real smart. look at Georgia. We've got Herschel Walker, and man, did you see his response to that disgusting racial attack on him, where he said, you know, he's just such a decent guy. He said, look, you know, you said all these horrible racial things, but I don't hate him. I'm going to pray for him. These guys need Jesus. And I was just like, wow, this guy's such a class act. I was talking to somebody from Georgia at CPAC, a big mover and shaker, and he's like, you don't understand. We love Herschel. He is the essence of Georgia. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, the liberal pollsters, the liberal reporters, they're not talking to normal people. They're in their blue bubble, and they're going to get surprised if they actually believe what they're saying. I wouldn't put it past them that this is 100% psychological operations rather than just wish casting. Maybe it's a little of both.
How important is it to have national figures in the Republican Party who have sway, of which there are a couple, out there on the campaign trail for these guys, for these Senate races? You know, Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis come to mind. Both of them have committed in a big way to supporting these Senate candidates.
I think it's great. This next weekend, I will be in Reno at the Basque Fry for Adam Laxalt, and the guy speaking after me, I guess I'm his opening act, is Ted Cruz. And Adam Laxalt is a terrific candidate, just a great guy, naval officer. I worked with him very closely during the Las Vegas post-election stuff when I was lawyering. He's just a great candidate. Another of those guys, both the establishment and the hardcore guys like me love. I think he's definitely going to take it. I mean, really, do you want – the IRS is just aching to increase the Nevada office by 2,000 guys and grab every dealer, you know, delivery guy, limo driver, anybody who works in cash is going to be feeling it. And they need to know that Cortez Masto is responsible for the IRS being all over him. And, boy, I think Adam Laxalt and all the other candidates are going to make sure they know that.
So right now you feel very good about November, not just the House, but the United States Senate.
Well, I think the House is a done deal. It's just how much we're going to abuse them. I think the Senate, I would much rather be us than them. But I want to emphasize, this doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean it's a gimme.
Right.
We've got to go out there and fight for every vote. And some of them are going to be closer than we'd like. But it's all doable. This idea that they're trying to put out, you can't possibly win. Joe Biden's turned a corner. He managed to increase taxes. Joe Biden, $700 billion. I don't know a lot of normal Americans who are really excited that rich guys are going to get, a tax credit on their next Tesla. I'm excited. I own a lot of Tesla stock, and they've made me a ton of money. Thank you, guys, and thank you for having an anchor to tie around your necks.
Kurt, whenever we have this conversation, and especially one that sounds as optimistic as you're making it sound, I get phone calls and emails from people who are very concerned about the integrity of our elections, who have kind of taken the Eeyore posture, which is like, well, it doesn't matter anyway, blah, blah, blah. And it drives me nuts because I hate seeing people that discouraged. But secondly, the only way you actually can conquer the bad guys is using the weapons you've got. And in this case, it means voting and making sure your elections have integrity. What do you think?
Well, I agree. Like I said, I was there in the election fight. So anybody who wants to tell me that there was no fraud, that's just a lie. We found fraud day one. So it's the amount of fraud. But remember, the fraud is limited largely to big blue urban areas and only certain ones of them. And there have been a number of changes to promote election integrity, notably Georgia.
Yeah.
Where Brian Kemp and the legislature went in and cleaned up a lot of what was going on. I think that the Republican National Committee needs to spend a lot more time and effort, not only on election integrity, but on letting us voters know they are focusing on election integrity, that they've got lawyers on the ground, that they are doing lawsuits in advance to shape the battlefield. That was the big problem in 2000. Look, I always get grief for it. I blame Donald Trump because he was the commander, not a simple military guy. Commander's responsible for everything military does or doesn't do. I got to Las Vegas. There was one RNC lawyer on the ground in one of the top six battleground cities. That's unacceptable, and that's a huge reason why we started behind and ended up behind. That can't happen again. But what's important is not only doing these things, it's telling the people we're doing things to counter the Eeyore problem that you correctly identified.
Yeah, it's out there. That's for sure. And you're totally right about that. If you, in order to instill trust in the system, demonstrate that you're working on its integrity. Kurt Schlichter, thank you very much. Really appreciate it, as always. Good to talk to you, sir. See, Ann Coulter, remember her? Ann Coulter pointing out on her blog today a ridiculous New York Times piece covering the nearly $1 trillion tax and spending package the Senate just rammed through this week. The headline on the New York Times piece covering this, 5 decades in the making, why it took Congress so long to act on climate. What? Listen to the top of the piece. Dateline Washington. In 1969, President Richard Nixon's advisor, Daniel Patrick Moynihan, wrote a memo describing a startling future. The increase of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere caused by burning oil, gas, and coal, Mr. Moynihan wrote, would dangerously heat the planet, melt the glaciers, and cause the seas to rise. Goodbye, New York, Mr. Moynihan wrote. Goodbye, Washington, for that matter. 53 years later, Congress is on the cusp of finally responding to what Mr. Moynihan termed the carbon dioxide problem. This is a piece that was written this weekend by the New York Times. This weekend. Amazing. Now, do you guys remember the city of New York? Anybody old enough to remember when New York City existed? Long ago, yes, it's underwater now. You can go on a scuba tour if you'd like. see the Empire State Building. It's amazing what is preserved underwater. Yes, the fish and all the sea creatures are traveling through the halls of a once-storied American city. Remember Washington? Remember? Now, normally, within the sound of my voice, Washington, D.C. would have been a city above sea level. But so many years ago, it sank beneath the ocean. Now, of course, there are people who wish Washington, D.C. sank beneath the ocean. But that didn't happen. 53 years later, we're finally getting to this urgent problem. You know, the one where New York and Washington might be underwater soon. These people, they don't realize how ridiculous they are. This isn't satire. This is real life. They really wrote this in The Old Gray Lady, the newspaper of record for the United States. We are a silly people with a silly paper. Coming up next, the great one, Mark Levin, right here on WMAL.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.